So Kay Sidebottom and Nick Sennett, and this time we're going to be talking about the development and implementation of a learner support team within your context, within the exchange. So what has the development and implementation of that team had in terms of an impact on the personal development of your students?
Right. So the context behind this really is that I was working with volunteers, and I came into Northern College particularly to speak to John Rowley about what courses some of our students could do at Northern College while still linking in with what we're doing at the Recovery College. It was going to be a difficult transition for some people in terms of them stepping out of the protective cushion of the exchange and actually looking at other courses. So it was literally, that's how it started. And John were talking about the possibility of, rather than some of our students doing the PETLs, that they might want to look at learner support, a qualification around learner support. And that's when I first met Angela. Angela came in on that discussion and outlined a course that she was doing with Sitting Guilds. And it seemed like a really good course. Obviously I had to go away and get some funding for it, which I did, and that was successful. But then one of the students came to me and said, quite rightly, well, it's okay doing the course, but what are you going to do in terms of creating a role for us? And then so what we did, we got together and created a small bunch of us got together, did a co-production workshop looking at what we could put in place based on learner need. And there were a number of different learners that were coming to us and expressing that they did need some additional support in sessions. And so I kind of introduced it to staff meeting, went through the correct channels. We got the findings back from the co-production workshop, so I were presenting that to our team. And then the first step was really to write a role description around what that would look like, because ideally it would be good to create some paid roles around learner support, but given that we didn't have the funds, I looked at piloting a learner support mentor role. And so we got a number of different students that had actually started not only just to do the course and achieve some of their learning outcomes for the course, but had started to take that learning and then look at what the next stage was. So for me, that were a really positive step. And it wasn't me that was leading at that, it was them. And so we came up with a proposal, a pilot proposal, which I submitted to another staff meeting, and we agreed to go ahead with it. And that involved interviewing some of our volunteers to make sure, crucially, that the volunteers that wanted to do the role had the right values. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where the values element of social purpose teaching comes in really strong, that you're teaching to your values. And the same applies to how you work with people in a learner support context, because my understanding was that if you're supporting people, you're enabling people to make decisions and choices and to learn and be in that stretch zone again, rather than doing for.
Yeah.
And that was a crucial thing that we wanted to test out in that interview process. We got some great people. We selected three learner support mentors. Committed, hard-working people, but more to point, really got the right values.
Yeah.
And more, when I'm working in a teaching setting and look at my own practice, it's values that really come out strong, again, with a social purpose teaching. Why you're doing what you're doing. Yeah. You know, linking it with your reflexive practice as well. And that started to be introduced on the course that they were doing as well. So one of the things that we looked at doing as well was for that group of three people to meet up regularly, about once a month to once every 6 weeks, to just to reflect back on how things were going and to try and get some reflection built in. Now, we started off using models like Gibbs, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean, and Sean, you know, reflection in practice and on practice, which again, one of my favourites. And just getting people to get into the professional kind of way of thinking, really.
Yeah.
And now we've noticed a massive difference. So what happens is that when a learner comes into the college at the Exchange Recovery College, there is a question on the enrolment form about whether they've got any additional support needs, learning needs. And now we're able to offer a one-to-one meeting with the what we call a lead facilitator or teacher, mm-hmm. and the learner support prior to the course starting, and to do some kind of learner profile, which is a learner profile. So we get a better understanding of where that person's coming from, what their needs are, what their aspirations are. And it makes a massive difference. Yeah. It really does. It sounds fairly simple, but it's so much better.
Yeah.
You know. And linking it into our kind of roles as professionals as well. So we have an occupational therapist that works at the Exchange, and her background is all around sensory integration, and you know, she's worked with people with neurological issues and things like that. So she's taken more of a natural lead, but it's gone really well, I have to say. It's gone really well. And I think we have seen some achievement, because I think the achievement's been around people that have really had quite a bad experience of mainstream education. You know, either they've not had a learning need that's been recognised fully, and that's put them off completely from doing anything else. And then that kind of, just that simple process of sitting down before the course, and then allocating that learner support mentor to be with that person. And again, we had teething problems, Kay, I have to say. So, like, one of our teething problems to start off with was this idea that one of the people that was one of the mentors ended up introducing themselves as a learner support mentor for X.
Right.
And we just, we pulled that up in kind of like the reflective time that we have once a month, and just said, look, what, and asked other people, what do you think is the best approach to use?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it just to go in and say completely nothing, or, you know?
They're really important questions, aren't they, actually, about how safe people feel and how honest people feel they can be and all of that stuff. And I guess that comes back to your initial starting point about the values conversations, which is so, like you say, it seems such an obvious thing, but it's not. It isn't obvious at all. And I think most organisations, you know, where they're developing people, wouldn't start with values, or possibly wouldn't even consider it. And sometimes, even when you say to someone, what are your values around this, they wouldn't even understand what that meant, actually. Yeah. So that process of getting people to think about it and make those connections, I think, is really, really vital, actually.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because I remember the course that Angela did on learner support, and that was one of the sessions that she did.
Mm-hmm.
What are your values?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what's your motivations? You know, why do you do what you do?
Yeah.
And I suppose the other thing is trying to, for me now as a critical thinker, is trying to link in with what I do and evidence and thinkers and around me reading as well. So, again, I mean, obviously, I've mentioned Klein before, but I mean, that was the first experience I had of that, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in terms of not looking at what, you know, a reference from a health journal, but think a bit more in terms of teaching.
Yes.
You know, which is a transition for me.
It's making that leap, isn't it? Any other sort of theorists, thinkers that you've connected with along the way that have helped underpin what you're doing?
Yeah, I looked at Carol Dweck,
mm-hmm.
and I looked about the looking at the issue around giving feedback in terms of formative assessment, feedback, and looking at the impact that had, because we use that quite a lot within the college. And I actually shared that with a colleague, and she used some of that information in terms of doing a little bit of coaching and doing a self-coaching course. But I think for me, the relevance there was about when you're in a session and some people are contributing and they're actually really hitting that particular point and doing it really well, is the importance of giving that feedback to encourage further involvement and further contributions and things.
So
Carol Dweck were really useful. I particularly found the example about, which we're talking about, her work with people in Brooklyn and this idea that, you know, you might not be working with children that would be considered to have a high educational attainment, but actually giving that feedback and that reinforcement produced them to work or inspired them to work harder.
Yeah.